Good morning. As I was just sat there, it reminded me of my Pavarotti days. Do you guys know who Pavarotti is? You don't? That means you were born after 1990. Great opera singer. And as I was sat there, I was like, oh, maybe I should join her, but I just didn't want to. You know what I mean? Just joking. It's so nice to see everyone here this morning. My name is Pastor Benson. I am the pastor of this church. We're a church based out of London, and I'm not taking it for granted that you left your bed on a cold, rainy Sunday morning and you made your way down here. So please, can you look at the person who is sitting next to you and say, on behalf of Pastor Benson, thank you for coming and good morning. Then just one more thing, just say, the other thing is, after the meeting, we have cakes and all that, but Pastor Benson says you have to present your doctor's report to show that you're allowed to eat sweets. Otherwise, you might not get any cake. Tell them that one. Just joking. Just joking. All right, so this morning, I'm just going to spend the next 15 or so minutes just looking at Christmas, looking at the birth of Jesus and what it really means. And I've titled today's message, because as pastors, we always like to give our messages like a name. I've called it The Wise Men, the King, and the Priests. The Wise Men, the King, and the Priests. I'm going to be taking my reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. It's quite a long read, so just follow along with me and I'll describe it. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. It says, now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what was written by the prophets. And they now quote, saying, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are you not the least among the rulers of Judah? For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they went their way. So just a short description of the story. Jesus was born, and nobody on the earth really knew that he had been born, although it had been prophesied that a Messiah is going to come, and Jesus appeared on the scene. Nobody knew. And it was, Bible tells us, these wise men from the east, they saw a star. I don't know, I'm not quite sure how they determined that that star was relating to Christ. But they began to follow this star, looking for Christ. Looking for Christ. So this morning, I'm looking at three categories of people, or three categories of mindsets that we have. And oftentimes, we fluctuate between these three. And one of them is the mindset of the wise men. The other one is the mindset of the king, King Herod here, and the priests. So these wise men see this star and they begin to journey to Jerusalem. I'm not quite sure how it was in those days, but there were no planes, there was no easy jet. You couldn't just take a cheap flight quickly from Bristol Airport to Jerusalem. So it was a tedious journey, I think. It was a really tedious journey. But these guys kept on it. Then, as they were going on their journey, they probably figured out and said, okay, if it is a king that is to be born, then obviously he must be in a palace somewhere. So they headed to Jerusalem, to the palace in Jerusalem, and King Herod was the king at this time. So these wise men got to Jerusalem, they got to the palace, and they asked they asked around, and they met King Herod, and it's like, a king has been born. Is he here? Can we meet him, please? And King Herod was like, hang on, I'm the only king here. There's no other king. And he was a bit worried, King Herod. Then he calls the priests, the Bible tells us, and he says, you guys must know about this King Jesus that these wise men are talking about. Tell me about him. Where is he really? Because I'm not quite sure I want two kings in this domain. I'm the only king here. The priests, who really knew the Bible then? In fact, in those days, if you're like a priest, you were required to memorize the scriptures. So they got the Bible out and they said, okay, where was Christ? Where's Christ to be born? And they read it to King Herod. And that was the end. Well, that didn't help the wise men because they didn't find the king, they didn't find Jesus in the palace. So they said, okay, we're going to carry on this search. They left the palace and they saw the star again. And they followed the star till they got to the place that Jesus was. And they found Jesus there. The Bible says when they entered the house and they saw Jesus, they were excited. They brought gifts to him and they were filled with great joy. There's a part of the story here that I didn't read. I'll paraphrase. When Herod didn't see the wise men come back, because he had told them, when you find Jesus, come back and tell me where he is so that I can worship him also. But Herod had another plan in mind. He wanted to kill Jesus. So when the wise men didn't come back, Herod just sent out a raiding party and they killed all the children under the age of two. He just wasn't going to have another king in there. So, how does this story relate to us in real life now? Remember, the king, the wise men, and the priests. You know what? I begin to see like a certain pattern here, at least in my life, where you fluctuate through these different mindsets. So let's start with the mindset of the priest. Remember, three people, the king, the priest, and the wise man. I'm recording. I'll have just said that. Let's hashtag that. The Instagram people. Let's hashtag that. The king, the wise man, and the... Sorry? Just kidding. Just wanted to make sure you were listening. So the king, the wise man, and the priest. So let's start with the mindset of the priest. The wise men arrived and they said, where's this Jesus that we're looking for? And they brought out the Bible and they were searching the scriptures. These guys probably went to different Christmas carol services during winter like this. These guys were probably in church every Sunday. These guys, I won't say they sang in the choir because no, maybe they were doing something else, but they were at all the church meetings. They were at every gathering of the church. If there was something that needed to be done, they were there. If you ask, tell me this scripture, Matthew chapter 10, verse 18, they wouldn't even have to go into the Bible to look at it. They would just tell you where that was straight away. But the thing with the mindset of the priest, which sometimes we have, is we, like them, know about Jesus. But not Jesus. I remember a long time ago, and the expression in your face is going to show me if you were born before 1980 or not. I remember this a long time ago. I used to have these friends in my secondary school days, right? And you go to their room, and they would have these posters of musicians. And in those days, we didn't really have social media. So there were just like a few musicians that we had then, and you picked one. And there was one guy that a lot of people picked in those days. He had gloves, and there was like a particular dance that he used to do. If you respond, I'll know that you were born before. And there was a particular dance this guy used to do. And one of my friends were like, he knew the birthday of this musician. He knew his favorite food. He knew where he went on holiday. And there were times that my friend would be quite sad. You'd go into his room and he'd be like, hey, what's up? Why are you looking so sad? And he'd be like, I'm not going to mention the name of the musician now. This fill in the blank is not feeling too well. I heard on the news that he's ill. He's ill. I'm like, relax, things are good. Then I now ask this question. I'm not quite sure I should have asked that question. So this person that you know his birthday, when he was born, his favorite food, when he's ill and all that, have you met him before? He says, no, I haven't met him. Why? I love him anyway. And so what am I saying here? The priests were people who, like my friend, knew everything about Jesus, but they had never met him. So it's possible that we know everything about Jesus. We know the stories. We have our Christmas trees at home. We hang all the little things about Christ on that Christmas tree. But we, like the priest, don't really know this Jesus that we're talking about. And he's just like that little baby in the little pram that we celebrate every Christmas. So that was the mindset of the priests. And by the way, I can help you guys out. If you're thinking, oh, what present do I get Pastor Benson so he can put it under his tree before Christmas? I'll give you a list. You can pick one. Just kidding. So they knew about Jesus and that was it. But you know the interesting thing about this, folks? It's not just that they knew about Jesus alone. They weren't interested in knowing more. Why? Because when the wise men came, you will have thought that they will have gone with the wise men to seek and to search out where Jesus was. Or even said, okay, like Herod, when you find Jesus, please come and tell us about him so we can know him as well. They kept mum. They didn't even say anything. They said, okay, the Bible says this and that's the end. So for the priests, they were satisfied with coming to church on the Sundays, which is great. Doing that Bible reading, which is fantastic. But anything that required a further inquiry in their hearts about who this Jesus is, I'm not having that. I've ticked all the boxes. I've gone to church, I've sung, and that's it. Anything further than that, I'm not interested. So that's the priest. We see the second category here, Herod. Herod was so annoyed that Jesus had been born. He didn't want Jesus anywhere near his life at all, to the fact that he was prepared to go to the extreme and have Jesus executed. So what do we see here? In the king, we see someone who doesn't want Jesus to interrupt their life at all. Pastor Benson, I'm good. My life is good. All this Jesus thing, you know, maybe I might come. I'm not going to come to your Christmas carol at all. This Jesus thing is just being a bit fanatical. Why do you guys have to sing so many carols? Why do you have to celebrate Christmas? I mean, how about the other religions? Isn't it going to be a bit of a, don't talk to me. And he didn't want Jesus to have anything to do in his life. I remember a while ago, when I was in my uni days, I had a couple of friends who were Christians. And I remember this chap who was like my really good friend. We got into uni at the same time, and he was a Christian, a really good one at that. And previously, before then, I had made up my mind that anything that has to do with church, count me out, because my parents made us go to church. Which was a good thing, but you couldn't get up on a Sunday and say to my dad, oh, dad, I'm feeling a bit tired today, no church. I mean, that didn't even exist. You had to go. So when I left home, I was like, church, Once I can afford to rent a place, I'll never ever have anything to do with church again. So back in my uni days, I had that mindset. So we're on campus. And this guy would be like, oh, we're having this Christian thing today. Do you want to come along? And I'll be like, look, you're my friend. We're cool, but if you want to go to where all the Christian fanatics are and you guys sing and do all these bits you do, fine, but count me out. Count me out. So I had the mindset of the king once. I was like, man, this is just too much. This is too much. This Jesus thing is just too much. Do you understand? Now, I'll bring my speaking to a close as we look at the wise men. And I begin to see something about the wise men that I find quite comforting. So the priests knew everything about Jesus. The king didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus at all. But for these wise men, they didn't really know anything about Jesus. They just knew that Jesus had been born. They didn't know where he would be born. They were just following the star that was leading them. They couldn't quote Isaiah that said Jesus would be born. They didn't even know what a church service looked like. There was once I was at Cabot Circus, we had a church stand there, and I was talking to people, just telling them about the church for anyone who was interested in asking the question. And someone came along to me and said, oh, can we, you guys, are you like a church? I said, yeah. And I said, you know, you're free to come in, you know, we're just around the corner anytime. And the person asked me this question. If I came to your church, would you guys let me in? Do I need a pass or do I need? And I'm like, no, you don't need anything. Just walk in. So these guys didn't know anything. They was like, what do you guys do in church? You sing, you have like, what do you guys do really? They didn't know anything in that regard. But one thing that they had in their heart was that they wanted to find Jesus. How? They weren't quite sure. Did they have all the knowledge 100%? No. But one thing I see here, and this is something that God does all the time. Jeremiah chapter 29:13. Jeremiah chapter 29:13, I'll read. It says here, God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So for these wise men, we see that they have this mentality that, look, I might not know all the things about God, but I want to find this Jesus. I don't want my experience to be just based on what I've read about him. I want to find this Jesus. So we see a mindset where one might not have all the answers. One might not understand how, you know, why was the world created in how many days or, you know. They didn't understand all that. But what they understood and what they sought was Jesus. And that's it. So, what was the big deal? Why did they have to go all through? Why do you have to seek Jesus? Why can't you just stick to, look, I know one or two Bible verses and let's just call it a day. What's the point for you? What's the point for me? Why should I seek Jesus? Why can't I just live life, at least I've lived life up to a point and without Jesus and I think I'm fine. What do I need Jesus for? What do you need Jesus for? Why do you have to inconvenience yourself? And this brings me to the Christmas message, which is in Luke chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. And it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, talking about the birth of Jesus, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people of the earth. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah. So I end by saying that if you and I are going to enjoy the good news of Christ, if we are going to enjoy the great joy that comes from Christ, if we are going to enjoy and experience the salvation that comes from Christ, then we must be like the wise men and seek and follow after this Jesus that we're talking about, so that we will not be spectators that once a year, which I love, by the way, we gather, which I absolutely love. We eat all the turkeys and all the things, which I love, but we miss the most important thing that has an effect on the rest of our lives, which is that there is a joy that Jesus gives you that no one can give you. There is a hope that Jesus gives that no one can give you. There is a life that Jesus gives that no one can give you. Amen. Let's just bow down our heads, if you do not mind, for a minute, and I will pray. Our Father and our King, immortal, invincible God, only wise, thank you for all that you have done in our lives. Thank you for sending Jesus into the earth that he might be our Savior, that he will give us the joy, the salvation, and the strength that comes from knowing him. Lord, this morning I'm asking that for everyone that is gathered here, that you will carry on, that you will continue to remind us of the true purpose of Christmas, the true purpose of Christ. Lord, I pray for anyone here who is going through one challenge or the other, or who has questions in their mind. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you will answer the question in our hearts, even beyond what I've been able to do this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.